Also in the hymns it is expressed what touches our hearts, what God's word says to us, and what we believe. There were already people before us who have sung of what we experience now. They already felt by the Spirit and they knew that it comes. As the prophets foretold in the scripture what would come, so also hymn writers expressed what will come, and we may be pardoned and live in this time in which really everything comes to its completion. Truly, there has not been such an important time in the plan of salvation. The two generations, the one at the first coming of Christ and the second now before his return, are truly very important in the plan of salvation. And by grace we may live now, and not only live, but having received life from God, to let ourselves be brought into conformity with the Word. Billions of people live on earth, but only a few in this time who found grace in the sight of God. One could be frightened if one compares the little flock with a great multitude who do not come to the Lord. And yet we must leave everything to God and be grateful that He called us unto Himself and that we may be His own possession. Let us continue with our word observation to let the word of Christ dwell richly amongst us. I would like to read from the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. Haggai, chapter 2, from verse 4 to 6. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the promise that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. When we take the parallel from this word into the New Testament, then we notice that the writer of Hebrews understood that it was not only about the time back then and about that what was done, but, as emphasized many times, prophecy is hidden all over. And by grace, we may just see it and understand. The Spirit of God searches all things and lets us know the connections. I think it's written in Hebrews chapter 12 that God will once more shake the heavens and the earth. And there also the connection is shown to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. In verse 27 it says, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." With this, the apostle refers already to the end of the end time. God will truly shake once more heaven and earth, as he says here in the prophet Haggai, in verse 5, "The promise that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt remains with you." There is no other way. What God has said, what he promised, must remain. That's the only thing that lasts, namely God and what God said. Words of men can be taken back, plans can be changed. But God says, "My counsel shall stand, and the counsel of the heathen shall be put to shame." The promise which I gave you, not just somebody, that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, remains with you, and my spirit reigns among you. In the moment where God fulfills his word, the Spirit of God begins to work among the blood-bought multitude. The Word and Spirit of God works always together. There where revelation of the Word is, there it came by the Spirit. For only the Spirit reveals all things, searches even the deep things of God. Where the Spirit of God is not at work, there the Word is being interpreted into all directions under heaven, without that the true revelation of the will of God would be found there. And especially also verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts." This "yet once" was inserted here. Then comes this short time, for it will not happen many times, not hundreds of times. It will happen once. As it happened at the beginning, so it will happen again at the end. And that, what God does, will be unique and cannot be imitated. People always like to imitate. God will do a unique, a short, but mighty work by grace. That's how the prophets foretold it, and that's how it will happen. It continues here, "Yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." One could read much about this, even in the same chapter, Haggai chapter 2, from verse 20. Here it says, "And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them." Shall we read more about it? All this shows already what Armageddon will bring, the last reckoning, when God really shakes everything, and the rocks and mountains will be moved, and the Lord finishes his course with mankind. There are wonderful scriptures, and about this one could probably speak until tomorrow morning. But let us read from Haggai chapter 2, from verse 15, to come back to our subject, from last night and from this morning. Haggai 2 from verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. And when was this time? Who knows it? I read you when it was. Here we should look backward. Once we may look back, not in unbelief, but to find out how it was with us in that time when we were not in the will of God. And to it, Brother Baranowski told me earlier, I had my clip here already in the Bible. He spoke about it in Africa, Haggai chapter 1. Here it says, from verse 2, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? There were also such. They say, the time is not here yet. And then came the word of the Lord. Is it time for you that you dwell in your houses at a nice prepared table? Or has the time come to build the house of the Lord and to sit at the Lord's table and to receive the food of the living God? And it still goes on here. It says here in verse 6, Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Now tell me, is this not somewhat our situation? Let us be honest. We eat and are still hungry. We drink and are still thirsty. Something is not yet as God wants it to be. Something is not yet as it should be. Let us be honest. We are gathered here before God and we feel it that God has more for us, that He wants to bless, that He wants to bring His church really back into its original condition. And He will do it. We have sown much, but we didn't harvest much. We have eaten, thanks be to God, that we didn't starve to death. We have eaten, but we are not filled. We have drunk, but we are still thirsty. Now, the Lord has given the promise that it shall become different, and for this we are grateful. God can really change all things. It still continues here, in the same verse. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And what was that time? A time in which everyone built his own house and sat at his own table and makes his own thing. Similar as in the days of Jesus, let us build 3 tabernacles. We don't need 3 tabernacles. And we also don't need different houses, not one for you and one for me. What we need in the kingdom of God is the house of God. Not the one brother a thing for himself, and the other again another thing for himself. What we all need is to get to work, namely to build on the house of God, and to contribute in the house which God Himself builds. and that no one builds for himself anymore. You know, if one thinks about it, then one really feels otherwise. When one looks at what happened in this generation, how many different directions came up, on what kind of things are fiddled and built around, and the house of the Lord, the temple of God, the church, was torn to pieces by such builders. Everyone builds his own thing, his own kingdom within the kingdom of God, and the house of the Lord lies waste. God will make an end to it. He claims his own. He paid for them. He purchased them. They are his, and they belong into his house. He builds it himself. He just takes us to it as people who can do here on earth what he commands and who have to do what he says. Important is also Haggai chapter 1, namely verse 12 to 13. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. So lautet der Ausspruch des Herrn. God has given a prophetic message at that time when something extraordinary should take place in the plan of salvation. It was the same at the first coming of Christ. It is the same in this generation. Not speculating, not interpreting, but the word of prophecy put amidst the people of God, spiritual orientation, divine teaching, so that everyone knows where he's at. Also we have recognized that not men spoke by themselves, but men of God, holy men of God, driven by the Holy Spirit, spake the word of God, and all who are of God, hear God's word. And all who are now of God's people, they cannot do otherwise but to believe the divine message, his revealed word that was hidden before. For in this it is actually manifested that we have been brought up to date in the kingdom of God, by seeing that the time has come to fulfillment. When the time was fulfilled, here it says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, at the nicely prepared table? Or has the time come to build the house of God? I say like this, the time is here to build the house of God, the church of the living God, to see it restored in its original condition, as we looked at it already this morning. And to it I would like to read some other scriptures. The first from Ezra, chapter 28. Ezra chapter 28, verse 22 and 23, maybe the last part of verse 22 and also verse 23. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. For our good, when we seek God, then His hand is upon us for our good. I read it again. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. When one reads the whole story, you can find out what trouble came upon the people of God. How many hindrances were laid into the way, threatenings and all kinds of things. But God was with them. Yes, His hand watched and was upon them, so that everything went well. I read from chapter 10, Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Also, this seems important to me in this connection. Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now, when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. Beloved, in the moment when God does something, all are seized, old and young, great and little, whoever we may be. When the Spirit of God begins to work, then all will be included into this work. Let me read from Nehemiah chapter 1, because all these things belong together and are a lesson for us. And I read from Nehemiah 1, especially because of them who think that they have never been in captivity. They come from houses of believing parents. They are already dedicated to the Lord and grew up as believers. Let me read this word for us. In the Holy Scripture, for every situation, for everything, there's an answer. And this we find now in Nehemiah, in chapter 1, namely from verse 2. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Not only those who went out were in trouble, also the remnant, they were in great affliction. Sometimes we really think and look on others and think, all right, they have to do this and that. Also, we are affected. All are affected. All of the people of God, whether those who went or whether those who remained, all were affected in this or the other way. It says here, also they are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. What good was it for them to be left behind, when the house of God and the city wall, everything was destroyed? What did they get out of it? Whether being led away or whether be left behind, the affliction came upon all, and thus we also understood. The affliction has come upon the overall church. One might have been displaced here and there, being here and there in Babylonian captivity, or maybe not. The affliction came upon all of us, because the house of the Lord, because the church, because the temple, because a destruction took place, and a new build-up must take place by the grace of God. I don't know whether all of us read the Old Testament, but here I like to repeat myself. In the Old Testament are the shadows for that what would come in reality. By grace they were given for all who see it and who would like to experience it. Then it says here, we are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And this prayer I will not read completely, but in verse 8 it says, remember, I beseech thee, the promise that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. In the beginning we read in the prophet Haggai that it was said, the promise that God has given to his people in the beginning remains. Here the man of God also refers to that time and shows to the Lord that he himself promised, if his people would be scattered unto the ends of the earth, that he would bring them back. And here the man of God says, remember, I beseech thee, the promise. I believe that to our Lord, and please forgive me when I say this now in a human form, but that nothing touches him so much as if when we show him the promises by faith and in love and say, Lord, but you promised, you have said it, we believe what you said and what you promised. Remember us, remember the promises which thou hast given, and you will see God will have to move his arm, for he only acts according to that what he promised. And if we remind him on his promises, then he must act. He cannot do otherwise. How often we have said it here, true faith is anchored in the promises of God. There is no other point in which true faith could be anchored in than in the promises of God. And here we are double assured that God remembers the promises which he has given in the beginning. He remembers them. And when he said that he will once more shake the heaven and earth, then he must do it. Don't understand now this word must as if one would command it to the Lord. Him no one can command, but he is bound to his word. The scripture cannot be broken. His counsel must come to pass. What he promised is certain and will take place. God himself will take care for it. Let me read on here from the prophet Nehemiah, from chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. They knew very well, as long as they are scattered in captivity, without the city wall, without the temple, without all that, that they are a reproach for others. But in the moment where the original condition is established, they are no more a reproach. In that moment, all of the world has reverence before this people because God is with them. The same it is with us. We have sown much and brought in little. We stretched ourselves out. It was not enough. We were eating and remained hungry. We drank and were still thirsty. But God has the fullness, and he wants to manifest this fullness once more. In his rebuilt church, everything what he promised, he wants to restore. And that what he did at the beginning, this he wants to do at the end. And he will do it. Can you believe it? I can believe it. For thus he promised it. And that's how it will take place. Now listen, what is also written in Nehemiah, in chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3, perhaps we read verse 33 and 34. But it came to pass that when Sambalat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Did you read it? What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Here's the word revive. We shall, as the living stones, be fit into God's building. Now a uncircumcised one, an unbeliever, he says, look at these feeble Jews. Everything lies waste. The stones are burned. Will somebody revive them, giving them a form again? Will they ever be usable again? Can they be used again? It was a mockery. And I remember here the word of the prophet Ezekiel, when he saw the dead bones, and the question came up, Son of man, can these dead bones live again? And the answer was humble, Lord, you know it. Lord, you know it. And then came suddenly the answer, speak to the dead bones, that they are revived. And he spoke the word of the Lord, and they were made alive, a great multitude. Can the stones who lay waste, which are burned rubble, can they be used again? Can they be revived? Can they be built up again? Yes, with God, yes. And even we are so miserable, even we are so deformed, our God can make us all fit again without that there is a lack. The question was, Can this rubble, can these burnt stones be revived? Oh yes, there is a God in heaven who can revive, who out of that what Satan destroyed and what he made a heap of rubble, out of this God can make something new, something wonderful. And it's always good for us if we don't look on ourselves, but that we really give glory to the Lord by faith, fully trusting Him. The unbeliever says, what do these feeble Jews there? Yes, but what does feeble mean? We are feeble. The word impotent comes from without power, powerless. That we are without power, this we all know. But that we have an almighty God, this we also know. And more we don't need. We don't say, here we have it, we can do it. We say, Lord, here we are unable. Did not our Lord say, without me you can do nothing? And this we came to know painfully. Without him we can do nothing. But with him we can overrun the enemies. We can jump over walls. With him and through him we can and will be conquerors. Can this heap of rubble to which the feeble Jews returned, or who remained there, the situation was for both the same. And I hope that today we learn the lesson by it. Whether left behind or having been in captivity, the situation is the same. The house of the Lord has been destroyed. But the question here can be answered very well. What do these feeble Jews? Yes, one can say, what does this little group want, who think of themselves to be pardoned by God in a special way? You all know how the people speak. They say, if this would be a thing of God, then the Pope and all the world would speak of it, and then the mass media would report of it. How often I have heard this. Yes, one has never come to know of this thing. How come? I ask myself the same thing. It is really getting high time that it is made known with the people. And make no mistake, as certain as back then it became known among all nations that a captivity took place, so certain it became known that the people of God returned and that the Lord was with them, that the buildings were completed, and that the God of heaven was again with his people Israel. Thus it shall also be manifested in these days, that we are not just somebody, but the returned, new-built church of the living God. Not a pious club with a new direction, but the body of the Lord, living stones in the holy house of the holy God. And again, coming back to this text, I read it so I don't use my own words. Namely, verse 34, second part. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? One question mark after the other. But God, behind all these human question marks, he has put a strong exclamation mark, but a very strong one. And he confirmed his word among his people and made the impossible possible. And the same will happen in these days. They can say, there is a little group who believe that they understand God's word rightly and they think they are something special. We don't think anything. We just believe as the scripture says, and we feel honored that God has visited us so graciously. As the least, He looked at us, that we may really believe as the scripture has said. And also about this we are glad and are grateful that we didn't walk in different directions, but into the divine direction, and that we wait patiently until God's hour comes and the building of God comes up before our eyes, and that the Lord can manifest Himself anew. All these question marks, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they revive the stones? It was not the business of the Jews. It was the God of the people of Israel who made all this possible. If one would ask us or me, do you think that you will make it? My goodness, we would straight away say, we didn't even start to make it, but we make ourselves available to God. And He can even make usable vessels out of vessels that have previously failed. Many times we have said it, how it was shown to the prophet Jeremiah in the pottery. He should go there, and he saw how the potter made a vessel. I must honestly say here, I like all the professions, and I can't do any profession properly. But the profession I like to watch the most is the potter. I watched it a couple of times. With an inward enthusiasm, I love to watch it, how the vessel is formed. It is just majestic to watch it, how this lump is thrown on this potter's wheel, and then it starts. Just knowing how the finger and the hands are placed, and suddenly that thing becomes bigger, and before one can look properly, one has a jar of this size, and thinks, one moment, this was just now a lump. Here, a piece of earth. And now, I watched it a few times. Also in Israel? Yes, once in Israel. Right? You who were with us. I've seen it also in other countries. They are really specialists. They make their living from it. And that's such a wonderful thing, how this comes about. Our Lord said to the prophet Jeremiah, go into a pottery. And there I will speak with you. And what did he see? What did God speak with him? A vessel failed, and the potter destroyed it again. If you and I break a vase, especially when it was expensive, then it's broken forever. But when the Lord breaks it, then it's not broken forever. Under His hand, the solid can become soft again, a lump that He can form again. And this the prophet Jeremiah could witness. When we break something, then broken fragments remain. When the Lord breaks it, then He rebuilds, then He forms new. He can make out of a vessel of dishonor, He can make out of it a vessel of honor. How many places we could still read. I'm strengthened by all these words of the scripture, by the acts of God. It was not important that people excelled themselves, but that God's people recognized at the appointed time what should take place in the plan of God, and that they agreed to this plan of God, and that they let themselves be placed into this plan of God. This is what matters. And this still matters today. Not only to know what God promised, but to be available for Him and say, Lord, whatever remarks the people make shall not bother us at all. We know what You promised, And we also know that we ourselves are feeble, that we can do nothing. But in the same way we know that the Lord is almighty. And this is really not the time that everyone builds on his own house. I speak now spiritually. Earthly, we all have our houses or flats. I speak of the house of God, of the church of the Lord, which makes up one body. So may God give us now, and to all who are of his people, may he give us now grace to recognize that the time is no more here, that the one builds his group and the other builds his, and everyone walks in his own direction. This is not the time of own ways and of own houses. It wasn't enough. We drank. The thirst was not stilled. We have eaten and we didn't get full. Now all this shall change. I hope that God hears us and that the time of change has come. In our country, the word change has become a mocking word. Yeah. But we really speak of a divine change. The time is here, not to be busy with one's own things, but, as Brother Rus tuned in this morning, the thing is yours, Lord Jesus Christ, the thing at which we stand. And if I would not know, 100% that this is God's work, I would be honest enough to close my Bible and to go into my flat. But because I know that it is God's work at which we stand, therefore all the others shall close their doors and let God work and submit under him, so that finally the body of the Lord really finds together and the stones can be taken out from all the rubble, and that the Lord can make them alive. This I like the best in this text. Feeble Jews, Almighty God, burned, unusable stones, can they be revived? Yes, they can be revived, because there is a living God who builds a living temple. And this living temple is his church, and it's his business to make alive. Our God makes alive. May he make us alive by his grace. May he make us happy, not as people who remain sitting and say, how shall we play the harps of God in a foreign land? We are no more on foreign land. We have returned. We can tune in and praise the Lord. We may believe that this is the day that God really has made. When the people of Israel were still in Babylon, the mockers came along and they said, sing us now your songs of Zion. Take the harps of the trees, play us and sing us. They didn't play and they didn't sing. What did they say? How can we sing the songs of our God in a foreign land? They remained silent. But when they returned, shall I read it to you what happened there? Then the whole earth shook. There really something extraordinary happened, because all the people who previously have seen still the temple in its original condition, they have seen it now being rebuilt. And then you can all read it yourself what happened there. I read from Nehemiah chapter 8, the well-known text to all of us, that we read already many times. And also here, the second part of verse 9. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Did I say it in Nehemiah 8, second part of verse 9? This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Therefore, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to enjoy a great feast, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Amen. Amen. To this, nothing has to be said anymore. They had understood the words that were declared unto them. They realized what God does in their midst, and already they went their way to eat and to drink. Earlier, they were eating and were not filled. They drank and it was not enough. Everywhere a lack, now the fullness. The hour of God had come. Fear not, the Lord is with you. We believe that God is really with his people. If he is not with them who love him, who believe him, who obey his word, with whom shall he then be? Oh yes, God is with us, and we persevere unto this glorious day, on which all stones out of all the rubble will be taken out and are made alive and have been put together unto a holy habitation of God. And to it God speaks through the prophet Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit it shall take place, saith the Lord of hosts. We have to count with a mighty moving of the Spirit, and I believe it with all my heart. The weakest will then be like David, and the strongest like the angel of the Lord. That's how it is already written in the word of prophecy. We do well when we read all the promises. Then joy comes up. Then certainty comes up. Then we have comfort and confidence to our Lord. May also that what was brought at this weekend from the word of God, may it strengthen us all and those who will hear it later on. May all be blessed. This is the day that the Lord has made. He will again manifest himself. He sends his word ahead to let us know what he is about to do. And then he obeys his word, and he appears there where people believe his word, and he confirms his word on them who believe it, and makes it a divine reality in them and through them. No one shall speak of the feeble believers, but of the Almighty God. No one shall ask, what shall come out of this, and how will it end, and how can it go on? But let everyone say, this day is holy unto the Lord. To him be the honor and the praise, now and forever. Can you believe it? Amen. God is still on the throne and everything is subject unto him. Amen. Let us stand up and let us give glory to the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we have heard precious words of God, and we also heard that the people of God, the Jews, were despised and spurned. To us, in these days, can happen the same. But one thing we have to keep in mind, they didn't care what their enemies and adversaries said and argued, but they believed their God and the promises that were given to them by the prophets, and they put their trust in the Lord. They looked on him who is their help. The same is also in our days. I want to say to all of you, when the enemy comes to you and says, what they tell you there, this you don't have to believe. They are anyway not on the right track. I want to tell you something. We are not walking on our own way. We are walking on the way of the living God. And we don't want to have anything to do with such babblers and swindlers who come to us. But we show them their way, that they go there where they came from. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't just say it like this. The enemy is aiming at us to destroy the believers. They can come in a skin of a lamb, so nicely, so believing, so wisecracking. But beloved, we don't need any know-it-all, and God also not. But we believe the living word of God. This is our power and our strength. And so I ask you, you will see the enemy will come. He will try to distract you from the way. But be vigilant and remember that the Lord has spoken to us and that he has become all in all for us. Brothers and sisters, when God speaks with us, then the enemy is also busy to also do his work. We have seen it from the scripture. When the Israelites began, the Jews, then the enemy was also there. When nothing began, then he was also not there. But when it began, then he was there. And so it is also in our days. God started, and he does his work. And then the enemy will also be there. Keep this in mind. But you can resist him as our Lord resisted him. See, also in the days of our Lord, when he started to work, the enemy arose. But how was it with him? He resisted him. And this with a word. Keep this in mind. The enemy came also with a word. He came with a word. But Jesus could say, it is also written. And thus, the enemy had to flee. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't know why these words were given to me now. But I had to say them. For it will definitely take place. And I ask you all, be vigilant. People will come to you and they will start to inject something into you. But remember, we heard the word of God, and this has to say so. Blessed be his wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us worship. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for your mighty word, for your promises, for everything what you are giving us, by your grace, O Lord, in this time, in this hour in which we arrived, Lord. Lord, you will have a multitude who resist the enemy, O Lord, as also in those days, O Lord. they started then to praise your name. Then they could rejoice because they had the joyful confidence given to them by you, Lord, that they don't need it to be sad anymore, but they could rejoice in your presence. And they could eat, they could drink, they could rejoice in their God who made the promise true in their time. Hallelujah. Lord, so also we can come. We may eat, we may drink, we may rejoice in your presence because we are your people, the sheep of your hand, because you purchased us with your blood. The enemy has no right on your people, Lord. Praise and thanks, glory and worship to your name. Hallelujah. Receive the glory, receive the praise and the worship. You, the victor of Calvary, we worship you for this precious grace, for these hours of grace in which we are built up by your mighty word. Praise be to you and glory and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.